Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Teak now will mix it up, do a little football. Still a lot to react to. Brady Quinn, CBSSports.com football analyst that we've had Brady on before. Brady, what's happening, buddy? Teak and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I got to admit, lost the first game. I picked Oklahoma.
So did I.
Yep, Rhode Island won, so great. Can't have a perfect bracket. Yeah. Ruined the whole tournament.
Well, you're not busted yet, because I'm sure you didn't have them going to the Final Four.
No, just as long as you pick... Hey, Brady, just as long as you pick Notre Dame and the NIT, it's all good.
The fact that they didn't make the tournament, I don't want to get into that whole conversation, but yeah, I'm just hoping they win the NIT.
Hey, it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy, right? I don't know what the conspiracy is for Notre Dame. I know what it is for USC and Louisville, but I don't know what it is for Notre Dame.
Well, look, their two best players were hurt the whole year.
Yeah, I know.
They're a good team, but both Bondi Colson and Matt Farrell were healthy.
No doubt.
So it's true.
No doubt.
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, you're right. Well, let's get into some football real quick. Now, I know you call college sports, and I can't remember if you were calling sports when AJ – or calling the college games when AJ was at Alabama. But we just saw his deal with the Buffalo Bills. It's 2 years, $10 million. It's not a huge commitment to him. He's probably he's on a prove-it deal, basically. What can we expect from him as a starter? Because we haven't seen this yet from A.J. McCarron.
We haven't seen it since 2015. That's the last time we saw him, where he had three starts and played all right in that playoff game and had maybe things not gone differently down the stretch. He maybe would have won that game.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because of the things that went on between the Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals and the fight back and forth, I guess we'll never know. Bottom line is, there's a reason why he signed a more economical deal. Had a lot to do with the fact that there really wasn't a market for him. And at the end of the day, when you're looking at what AJ McCarron possesses as a quarterback, I don't know that he's been able to prove that he's gotten that much better, or that he's that much better of a prospect than some of the quarterbacks they've gotten this year's draft and some of the other free agent quarterbacks that were on the market. I mean, one common denominator was, a lot of the guys that got signed, they all had experience.
Yeah,
that was one of the reasons why the Browns got Tyrod and the Jets signed back Josh McCown. And then you're looking at Sam Bradford and why that makes any sense. But they're all experienced guys, and they're guys who can go in and play football if they can stay healthy and play at a decent enough level.
You know, when we talk about A.J. McCarron, Brady, we at least, I do this because I haven't seen him play in a while. You're right. It's been a little bit. We kind of talk around his actual talent, like we kind of like theorize, like we forget what he is. You're a former quarterback. Can you please, in a nice little package here, like in detail though, arm strength, accuracy, intelligence, and athleticism. Can you paint a more accurate picture than we can? Where is he with all those traits?
Well, look, I think he's a smart quarterback. You got to be when he played at Alabama in Nick Saban's system. He requires that from all his quarterbacks. They've got a lot of responsibilities in regards to the running game and the checks and handling the line of scrimmage. So he demonstrated that before he ever got to the NFL level. And I think he, again, in the short amount of time he started a few years ago, he showcased that. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's got a strong enough arm to make all the throws. I don't think he's going to be able to stretch the field like a Josh Allen, per se, the quarterback coming out of Wyoming or anything like that. But, again, he can throw down the field well enough. Doesn't possess overly a ton of athleticism. He's not a guy who's really even going to look to run first if that opening comes up. If he moves or if he gets outside the pocket, he's doing it to try to throw and, most likely going to throw the football away if he gets in that situation. Outside of that, pretty accurate quarterback. Again, haven't seen a big enough sample size in the NFL to get a good indication of that. And I always go back to this. When he started for the Bengals and went 2-1 as a starter and played all right back in 2015, that was a really good year for the Bengals. And Andy Dalton had one of his best years that year for the Bengals. It's been a different team since. I know Dalton's received kind of some flack. But, that was a really good supporting cast to help make AJ McCarron look good. So, to be quite honest with you, it's hard to get a sense truly what he is at this point in time in his career.
Okay. I mean, you and Teague will appreciate this as former players, and that's Brady Quinn with us here on Teague and Tierney. It sounds like he just described the guy. Yeah. He's a guy.
Well, I think the other thing that he could be, a lot of people thought Case Keenum was a guy.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
That's all happened last year. I mean, Nick Foles, at one point, was looked at as a franchise quarterback back in 2013. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, he gets traded to the Rams. They think he's a franchise quarterback. That's why they traded for him, and that doesn't work out. And then you watch him kind of bounce around. He contemplates retirement. Next thing you know, he has to be the Super Bowl MVP. But at the end of the day, like, everyone's kind of just a guy. And
yeah.
So they get that opportunity, and they take advantage of it, and they can go do something with it. So, look, AJ McCarron's going to get a shot. Now, I think they're going to draft a quarterback, either at number 12 overall, if they don't move up. But at this point in time, you know, he's going to get the first shot at it until they draft a guy who's going to compete with him.
Okay, there you go. Talking to Brady Quinn, CBSSports.com, football analyst, formerly Notre Dame star, of course, a couple of years in the NFL as well. We'll do the blast next. Just a quick heads up. Saquon Barkley will join us coming up right around 5:35 to 5:40 here on Teague and Tierney.
Excellent.
So good. Looking forward to that.
Hey, Brady, tell me what you think about Kirk Cousins' contract. Now, we've seen we've never seen a fully guaranteed contract in the National Football League. It's a short deal, though. And I feel like my sense is this is only going to be available to the quarterbacks. You're the only ones who get the keys to the bank. But what does this mean for the NFL, if anything?
Oh, don't be deceived by that, man. It can be other positions, too. It has to be shorter.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
If you look at all these deals, they're really 1 year or 2 years of guarantees, and the rest is kind of fluff.
Yeah.
You know, it's all actually leveraged on the team side.
You're right.
Where they don't really owe anything to the players. So, look, if players want fully guaranteed contracts, they can do it. They just have to be able to sacrifice not having as much long-term security and then try to maximize the dollars that a team's willing to put on them. So, you know, it's kind of more the basketball model, right? Like LeBron James signs two-year deals and two-year max deals and all that. That's essentially what Kirk Cousins did. And I love it because here's the position he puts the Vikings in. They've got to basically decide after 3 years, depending on how he performs, how he plays, whether or not he's their long-term answer. And maybe he is, maybe he's not. He'll be able to go get more than $28 million a year at that point. And on top of that, if they don't think he's the guy, he hits free agency and all he needs is two teams to create a market. I love it from that perspective because some people would have said, no, do a five-year deal, you know, and then sign that $137.5 million like Jimmy Garoppolo did. That's all irrelevant, man. Like, no one, he's not going to hit those.
Instead. Yeah, I agree.
He's not going to get to that number.
I agree. I only look at the guaranteed money. That's the only thing I ever look at.
Exactly. And so he's you know, it's great. Yeah, to me, it's great for the future of players and contracts in the NFL and trying to push towards having those fully guaranteed contracts and really – when it's all said and done, if you look at the last 2 years, he played under 2 1-year deals that were guaranteed contracts. So if you throw it all together, in the end, he's gonna basically earn in the next 3 years, and with the last 2 years, about $130 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal.
And you know what? It was all him earning it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he had a deal and then he underperformed it. Because I can't tell you how many times I heard that during my playing career and even now after it. Guy gets paid, he shuts it down. You know, Muhammad Wilkerson's the perfect example, right? These guys, they get paid, and it's not as urgent any longer.
Well, look, every case is unique.
Of course.
I think that's part of it. Like, in the case of Mo Wilkerson, I mean, come on, man. That whole thing was crumbling out around him.
No, of course. Yeah, no, but he had some issues. He had some local issues that he just wasn't.
Yeah, no,
he wasn't focused enough on football. Yeah.
I get that. But, look, now he's got an opportunity, right, in Green Bay.
Yeah.
We'll see what he does with it there.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think it's a great thing for players.
I think it's a great thing for fans, too. And I wanted to step back from some of the specific names and what we just hit on. And just a broad stroke. Help me out, Teague. What am I trying? A broad stroke.
Yeah, stroke.
Of where we are with the NFL right now. They needed this kind of offseason. And quite frankly, as fans, we needed this offseason because it's been about head trauma and declining ratings. And it's been about anthem protests. This almost feels like an NBA offseason where it's about this amazing crop, and I know that we can pick these quarterbacks apart, which we have and which we will continue to do as we get ready for the draft, but like five or six possible first-round picks and Saquon Barkley, who's the next Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, all this incredible player movement. It has been a galvanizing offseason, and the NFL needed this.
Yeah, to some degree, I agree with that.
Hey, you're not feeling me as much on that. Wow. Okay.
Well,
good.
The only thing I'll say to that is, I feel like nowadays, like even when there's negative news, it draws more attention to the sport and the league. And honestly, like, we have such short-term memories, like, we kind of forget about it. Like, until you brought up, like, the whole concussion thing and all that, I was like, yeah, that was something we talked about during the season, but now no one really talks about it anymore.
Because we're talking about something positive.
Exactly, but at the same time, like, did that really hurt ratings? I mean, I think we've seen a spike back in ratings once we got past the election and all that back in 2016. I think people are moving past that. One of the things about ratings that I think people are confused by is the Nielsen rating system itself. Like, if you go back to 2016 when we all thought it was due to the election and we all thought, you know, that the ratings were dropping, they did based on a rating system. But if you actually look at the numbers, 5 million more people watched the NFL back then than they did in years past. So it was growing. What the problem is now people are watching it for not as long. And that's what the ratings are showing us, is people have a shorter attention span with all that. And I don't know if that's a product of the NFL losing some of the audience and all that, or a younger generation, or just the fact that we all tend to have less patience, and if things aren't as competitive, we'll move on to something else quickly. But, I mean, people are still tuning in. I just don't think they stay as long, depending on the competitiveness of the game.
I think that's an astute point, but I mean even bigger than that, and there's always – you could take a 230 hitter in Major League Baseball and say, well, he just hit in a bad luck. I mean, he hit 37 line drives right at somebody. He really otherwise would have been a 280 hitter. I don't doubt that football is far more healthier than it's been positioned. I'm not saying that, and I like that.
Do believe that.
That it's
healthier than people want to lead on.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
no.
For example, look at the draft.
Yeah.
You know they're sold out for the draft in Dallas. Like, that's an event now, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Before,
same thing in Philly.
We had it in New York, right?
Hey,
I sat in that green room for like 5 hours.
Yeah, you did.
And
you did.
That was it. But like now it's an actual event.
Yeah.
People pay to go. The combine, same thing. Like people watch and cheer on the people doing the bench press now. It's entirely different than what it used to be.
I guess what I'm saying is, Brady, it was even if it was a lazy narrative. It had permeated enough conversations that if you hopped in the middle of some of these conversations, you would truly think the NFL was dying. And we know it's not. We're on the same page. What I'm saying is this offseason has been good because it's been just about football. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think both sides probably realized that throughout the course of this past year. And really, the odd thing about the NFL right now is, like, you look at every other professional sports league, by the way, the agents, the players' union, the owners, they all get the, like, nothing works if there's a work stoppage, right? So, like, they all try to work in unison to, like, not spoil the golden goose. And it's just so weird that Goodell and DeMarie Smith kind of take these you know, different sides, and even how the agents are kind of ostracized in the whole deal. I mean, they're making less on NFL contracts and all that. Like, no one seems to really get along, but I think they all came to a point where they all agreed that, you know, with the anthem protest, because that was one thing that I think everyone kind of came away saying, we got to find a solution, not only one for the players to make sure their message is heard and it doesn't get caught up into, you know, other things and it just being about the protest, not actually about the reason why they're protesting.
Yeah.
And for the owners, obviously, they were getting crushed for losing advertising revenue, right? Because obviously the TV money is getting impacted by that. They're upset with the owners about it. They want them to do something. So you could see why it was a hot button issue. And I think they will find a solution to it. But, you know, outside of that, I mean, honestly, I feel like it's actually a pretty healthy league. I mean, someone just paid for Thursday night football. Fox did, actually.
Yeah.
And they paid as much as anyone had.
You're right.
I mean, the league's not it's not suffering.
You're right. And they lose Papa John's and Pizza Hut. They lose Papa John's and Pizza Hut steps right in.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not Pizza Hut, it'll be Domino's. I think it's like someone's always going to slide in and take that. Like, I've heard rumors that ESPN might not want to renew the contract for Monday Night Football. I guarantee you, CBS, Fox, someone will pick up Monday Night Football.
You're right.
If ESPN ever wants to give that platform up.
You're right.
Brady, good stuff, man. A lot to think about. Good stuff. Brady Quinn, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
Be good,
okay,
Brady.
There you go.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.